Okay, I'm going to talk tonight as we get close to the end of the year. I'm going to preempt January the 1st. We're going to talk about our goals, not our football goals, not our netball goals. Well, we could talk about those too if you like, but it's probably not as interesting. Maybe it's more interesting. So this idea came from, with all the technology things that I do, I like to set myself some goals. I like to, try things during the year. I, don't care so much if I do or don't achieve them. The things that are supposed to happen, they happen. The things that aren't supposed to happen, don't happen. It's pretty easy. But I want to, have something that I'm trying to achieve. So I'm growing in the fellowship. I'm growing in myself. That my relationship with God is growing. I want to be, looking and assessing and considering, who I am. Who am I in Christ? And I guess I'm going to try and encourage you to do the same tonight, maybe. Mark chapter 12. Now these are not mandatory goals. These are just ideas, things you might want to take on board. One of the goals I've got for next year is to support our pastor in his trial, because those of us that have been married, especially those blokes, know that it's quite an adjustment. Women have spent their whole life preparing to change the man they marry. Men have spent most of their life trying not to be changed. So it comes as a bit of an interesting culture shock. So, we've got to pray for our pastor, not just spiritually, but, perhaps in this newfound thing that he's doing. I want to try and publish, perhaps a video a month. I want to be able to give back to the wider fellowship. I know that although we're small, we're feisty, we're prepared to do what's got to be done, but there's other fellowships out there, the people online that don't have access to the, we're kicking goals. I think Sho's doing jazz hands. I'm not sure what that means. Is that 12? Thank you, Sho. 12 people online. Hello, people online. Have we got anyone internationally?
UK and Indonesia.
Hello, UK and Indonesia. I guess the two of them are representing, punching above their weight there. So, I want to be able to give back because I want to also consume some of these things. I want to be able to watch some of these videos and, have access to other pastors and, Pastor John Coolman and things like that. I want to try and do some more things with the music to make it more challenging for you to pick songs I don't know. I've mapped out these goals and it'd be interesting to see what we should do. But goal number one, that I've put down here, other than all those technical things, because they actually mean nothing if you don't have the spiritual things in place, is put God first. It's perhaps sad that we have to say it, but I think it's important that we remind each other all the time that we've got to put God first. So in Mark chapter 12 and verse 30, Jesus here is saying, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first commandment." Okay, so do we do this? No. No is the answer. I don't know of anybody that would say that they actually do this completely and utterly, because we have life. Life gets in the way. Something's on television, the family, our favourite sporting team, we've got to go and watch them. The children are involved in something at school. We always find ways to justify to ourselves that missing meetings actually is not that big a deal. Well, it is a big deal. And I'm going to keep saying that. It is a big deal, because every meeting you miss means that you tell yourself you can miss more meetings. And that sort of thinking leads to your spiritual death, because eventually, you might take a fly-in, fly-out job. You might decide that, you only need to go once a month. You might decide that you don't like the people in Bunbury, so you're going to go to Perth, but you never really go to Perth because going to Perth is too hard. But, you trick yourself into thinking that you're still saved, but you slip away. So putting God first, okay? And when it comes to putting God first, do it with an unselfish heart. Don't treat God like an ATM. Don't think there's some sort of quid pro quo that if you do something for God, he's got to do something for you. Do things for God. Do more things for God. Do even more things for God. Do things for the saints. put yourself last, put God first. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Okay, 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 24. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. So what's being said here is, look, you know, to see other people succeed. So look to see the saints around us be successful in whatever they're trying to do. Help them try and achieve their goals. Help them become, you know, more well-rounded in the fellowship. Help them become, you know, better understanding of God's plan and purpose. Let the talk around the lunch table or the fellowship talk be about, you know, scriptural things and not so much about the West Coast Eagles or the Fremantle Dockers, although, you know, there's a bit of that. Sure, God doesn't hold that against us. But what is our prime understanding? What's our relationship there? Have we put God first, or is God literally, you know, a Sunday thing? And when I say that, I don't mean, because you could come to all the meetings, but God is just a thing that you put on as soon as you walk in the door and you put it off as soon as you go outside to your car. You know, it's the irony, you know, again, as Rod mentioned, that in other churches, you know, you go there for the social aspect and you suffer through the sermon. And look, to be fair, there was some suffering. You know, there's certainly not a lot of inspiration necessarily in some of these things. And I know in the country church that I used to go to, the minister there was a circuit minister as well as being that was his base. And so he would give the same talk four or five times. And to be fair, you know, you run out of inspiration there too. Because, you know, you might be giving a talk to, I don't know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7 people. You know, but that was his job. You know, he was a professional, so he just did that. But here, it's different. So put God first. Another thing, understand your faith. Again, it's easy after being filled with the Spirit, coming along to church for a long time, to forget what the fundamentals are. And Pastor Philip will do what he does, and in the start of the year, we'll go through those things. And I love it. I love being reminded of the absolute simplicity of the gospel. I just love reflecting back on my experience of being filled with the Spirit, my first house meeting, my, you know, staying up all night to read the Bible and not being able to go to work because I just had stayed up all night reading the Bible. I love that. You know, that's an experience. It's not, you know, on Sunday, one of the testimonies reminded me of an experience I had before I came along. I was actually, I think accosted was probably the best word to use, accosted by a Potter's House person. And they were chasing me through the Hay Street Mall. And, you know, it was quite busy. It was lunchtime during the day and they were just chasing me. They were trying to get me to say some prayer. And in the end, just to get rid of this person, I said this prayer. And the guy said, "You're saved." I said, "I'm not saved. I've just said these words that are completely meaningless." And, you know, even though I didn't have that much of a grasp on the salvation message, I was pretty confident that this wasn't it. You know, and just the whole process is like, I'm literally no different other than more out of breath than I was trying to walk away from you by saying this prayer. Nothing has changed, you know. Surely a Christian experience has to have changed, and we know that that's true. And all the people said, you know, that's the foundation. God, you know, He's done all these miracles, and the biggest complaint that we hear is there is no miracle working God. Well, there is, but miracles don't necessarily look like you winning lotto and getting a BMW. You know, they look like other things. Okay, so 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. So in terms of understanding your faith, we've got verse 15 here, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. How great is that? When somebody actually asks you what you do and you're able to just straight away explain what it is you do and why you do it. I actually got to say to someone at work, one of the senior guys, you know, talking about how I preach at church. It's the first time I've ever said that. And he was a little shocked, but not at all shocked. You know, he knew I went to church. I'd had that conversation. But, you know, to think of, you know, the IT guy who you really give no mind to is actually at church, you know, ministering to people, that set him back. He actually sat down. He's like, whoa. And so I thought, well, great. If that's going to generate more conversations about, you know, what it is that's important to me, well, praise the Lord for that. But it was a little nerve-wracking because, you know, I'm just a guy who gives a talk. But to them, he's like, how can you do public speaking? I just can't believe you do that. And like, well, it turns out it's practice. You know, you keep doing it, eventually people think you know what you're doing. So it was just a fantastic opportunity there. And so I've got a little note here. Look, if you don't know what or why you believe, how can you share your faith and how can you stand firm? Okay, it's really fundamental. You've got to understand not just that you're filled with the Holy Spirit, but what is God's plan and purpose for you. 2 Timothy chapter 2, got to throw this in because this is kind of how it happens. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more godliness, unto more ungodliness. And this is the catch. You know, this is the catch. When you're newly filled with the Spirit, you want to answer every question, you want to solve every problem. It turns out the best solution to many of these things is just to say nothing. Just to stay right out of it. You know, I had any number of people try to trick me with bizarre things in the Bible, and there are bizarre things in the Bible. There's no doubt about it. And I didn't have answers for these things, and it took a lot of years until I was fully comfortable with the fact that there's no way I can know all the answers to all the problems in the Bible. It's just not actually possible. What happens is if you become that person that wants to know all the answers to all the things in the Bible, you become contentious because no one can tell you anything and you can't be taught of anyone. So in the end, okay, you might sit at home and study the Bible 8 to 10 hours a day, but your actual godliness has diminished completely and you are a scholar. So it says here in verse 15, study to show yourself approved unto God, okay? This is the key. You don't need to prove yourself to anybody except God. It's not actually a competition of who can quote the most scriptures. Well, actually, it might be, but you know, that's for other people. But no, it's a matter of showing God that you are doing the right thing. And that's a real key that I think we miss here from time to time. Okay, so put God first, understand your faith. Another one is, and this is perhaps a little controversial, but I'm going to go through it anyway because what would it be if I didn't do something controversial? Be real. Be real. Now, being real is pretty confronting because we're all broken in some way or shape or form. But I've got, you know, my notes here. If you're joyful, share it with the saints. If you're sad, also share that with the saints. Let the saints lift you up. Let yourself be lifted up. Don't wallow in your misery. Let the saints pray for you when you need it. You know, I talked last time about how great it was to be able to reach out and use the WhatsApp prayer thing. You know, just knowing that if you're in a position where you're feeling hopeless about something, you know, there's other people out there that can be your strength. And just knowing that could be all you need to just turn the corner on whatever problem you're going through, or just have the confidence of seeing, you know, a thumbs up emoji, or, you know, praying for you or something, or muttering under my breath, as, you know, can be said. You know, let people help you. That's a real key. Okay, Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12 and verse 31. Okay, it's Jesus again speaking here. In fact, we'll read verse 30. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And verse 31, and the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. Okay? So, brothers and sisters, we have to look after each other because Jesus asked us to look after each other. Okay? It can be difficult. Some of us are high maintenance, you know, some of us are not high maintenance. But the challenge is to understand that we are the family of God. We are all fitly framed together. And as a church, we've got to try and get ourselves to heaven. You know, it's although Pastor Philip has the overall responsibility in the biblical sense, you know, we can help him out by looking after each other. Not every question, not every problem has to go to him. Obviously, some things do, but help each other out. Yeah, that can't be right. I put Psalm 334. maybe that's in the Amplified version. Let's try Psalm 34 and see what happens. Yeah, well, no, there's definitely not 334 chapters in the Reader's three, maybe. Okay, yeah, Psalm 34 and verse 17. Okay, Psalm 34, verse 17. The righteous cry, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and save such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. He keeps all his bones, not one of them is broken. Okay, now, clearly, you know, other than reaching out to each other, God is the answer. There's no doubt about it. If you're putting God first, this is what you need to do. But sometimes you need that, you know, that tactile, physical relationship, that someone just to give you a shake or give you a hug or something like that. It's very important. Proverbs chapter 3. Okay, Proverbs 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. So here's a combination of putting God first, as well as being, you know, real about your experience. I'll just read through a few here. Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 17. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. James chapter 5 and verse 16, confess your faults or sins, as it says in some translations, one to another, and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Okay, so where it says confess here, it's not in the, you know, church type thing where you go into a box and that sort of thing, but it's literally to acknowledge or agree fully. Just have a chat about it. You know, if you've got things to talk about, if you can't find a way out, sometimes just simply saying out loud what your problem is gives you the answer. It's just amazing how that works. You know, that you just have to just let it out. Literally, stop bottling these things up and just let it out. It could be you're praying to God. It could be you're yelling at God. You know, sometimes that's what's required. Or it could be just having a chat. Okay. Share your testimony, another goal. Keep sharing your testimony. You know, it's a big thing for me. Psalm 107 and verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Okay, oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Okay, and where it says, for he is good, all the people said. Okay. It's not really that much to ask. You know, if you want God to work in your life, work for God. You know, give him the credit that he asks for. You know, exclaim his greatness to other people, either here or, you know, your family or your work colleagues or something like that. But testify of the things that God has done for you. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 32. Jesus here saying, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. And correspondingly in verse 33, but whosoever shall deny me before men, him I will also deny before my Father which is in heaven. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Okay, this can be us, especially in the workplace where, you know, you're bursting with excitement about something that God's done, but you're really concerned about what your work colleagues are going to say. Well, don't be. It turns out they're either not going to listen to you or they're going to make fun of you. Either way, it doesn't change the fact that God did a great thing and you should tell people about it. More often than not, you'll get mocked, but there's also more often than not someone that's listening to what you're saying, and that's the person that you're trying to get hold of. You're trying to, you know, pick them out of the crowd so that perhaps then obviously they can come to salvation. Okay, the next goal, stay strong by putting on the armour of God, Ephesians chapter 6. Now, this was interesting because the movie Black Hawk Down, I don't know if you've seen it, it's quite violent. it came on Foxtel when I was flicking through the channels, and I just happened to be going through a bit where they're about to go into this battle of Mogadishu. They're all very highly trained troops. They're the best that America has. But they're talking about how there was no point taking any of the armour with them because they were just going out for a short time and they were going to kill a bunch of people and they were going to come back and they were going to be victorious Americans and barbecue and drink beer. And, of course, that's not what happened. You know, they got pretty much wiped out. Two helicopters got shot down, you know, by these people that didn't know anything about anything. And so it just struck me at that moment, you know, how often do we go out without our full armour on? You know, how often do we think I'll just sneak down to the deli and, you know, no one's going to see me, no one's going to care what I do, how I behave? You know, those sorts of attributes. We might leave our testimony in the back seat of the car. You know, that's not who we're called to be. So here in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armour of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." So if that's not enough to justify putting on everything you got, I don't know what is. "Wherefore," in verse 13, "take unto you the whole armour of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." Verse 14, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." Okay, so there's a lot to unpack there, but you know, God has said pretty much from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet, there's some aspect of armour, of spiritual armour, that can protect you. So make sure that you stay strong by putting on the armour of God. Okay, next one, growing in your faith. Obviously important too. As much as it's important to understand your faith, we want to be growing. You know, the scriptures encourage us to do that. They almost, in fact, demand that we do that because we're not that much used to God as babes. You know, if we're just struggling to deal with the basics, he needs us out there representing him. So Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 14, "that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive." Okay, so don't be tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine. And don't be fooled. People are out there to bring us down. It's uncomfortable to people, and in Australia we call it the tall poppy syndrome, but it makes people uncomfortable if you appear to be better than them. They don't like it. And whether we want to admit it or not, the fact that we're filled with the Spirit, the fact that we're blessed by God, the fact that we're raised up to something better does make us better than them. You know, we've understood. We may not look better, we may not have a higher position, but God has raised us up. So it doesn't matter what we think about ourselves. God has elevated us. Okay, He expects big things of us, and so don't be tossed about by, you know, just these simple things. In Luke 17 and verse 5, just to quote it, "and the apostle said unto the Lord, increase our faith." You know, sometimes that's the prayer that we need to pray. Sometimes we're having a bad day, a bad week, a bad year. In the case of the royal family, it just gets worse and worse. But sometimes, Lord, increase our faith. You know, 'cause sometimes we feel like it's gone missing and we just need to be reassured that it's there. Okay, another one. This is a bit of a biggie. Forgive one another. You know, sometimes we forget who we are in Christ and we hold grudges for tens of years. Luke 17. Now this is probably, of all the things I've listed here, this is the most difficult to do. but they're goals. So it means we can aspire to them. We may fail, but, you know, just keep trying to do these things. So Luke 17, verse 3, take heed to yourself. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And this is where the problem is, that many of us have the capacity to forgive people one time, but it sort of comes with this asterisk, well, if you do that again, I'm taking you out the back and smacking you. But that's not what the scriptures are saying. And it's really hard for us to put this aside because, frankly, I can be annoying. I understand that. But the scriptures say you need to forgive me, okay? So next year, perhaps your goal can be to forgive me a bit more about being annoying, and I'll try to be less annoying, but again, no promises. But that's what it is saying here. That's what it is saying here, that Jesus is saying there is no limit to forgiveness of a brother or sister if they repent, okay? That's the key. They've obviously got to be repentant about this thing that they've done wrong, this harm they've done to you. But the scriptures are clear about this. No one really likes to be told that they've got to forgive a brother that's repented. Matthew chapter 6. So why is it important that we forgive people? Well, verse 14 here in Matthew chapter 6. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Okay, that's pretty heavy. It's pretty heavy. So this is Jesus speaking here. And just in case we didn't know, Jesus was the person that died so that our sins could be forgiven. And again, I'm not sure that we think about this enough. And it can be hard when we're mad with somebody, but it's really important to remember that Jesus died so that all the sins could be forgiven. There was no asterisks, there was no semicolons, there was no number 1, 2, 3, 4. It was Jesus died so that all our sins could be forgiven. So who are you, brothers and sisters, to not forgive somebody? Are you better than Jesus? Are you more powerful than Jesus? Do you have a place in heaven that is above Jesus? No, you don't. Okay, so if Jesus is telling us to forgive men their trespasses, and I believe he meant women there too. In fact, I'm very confident. If he's saying that you've got to forgive them their trespasses, forgive them their trespasses. Jesus died for you. He died for them. Okay, sins have been forgiven. In John chapter 6 and verse 63, it says, it is the spirit that quickens, the flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Okay? Our life has to be in the spirit. Our life can't be in the flesh. If our life is in the flesh, there's no point being here because this is where the spirit dwells. This is where the spirit is enriched. This is where the spirit is raised up. Okay? Nearly done. Leave judgment up to God. Okay, so for those of you that are struggling with forgive one another, remember, leave judgment up to God. Romans chapter 12. Okay, Romans 12 and verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Okay, so don't be like the other people that are around you. Don't seek retribution if somebody has wronged you. Don't scheme and plan and send angry letters to the editor about how your next-door neighbour is such a bad, bad person. You know, our next-door neighbour poisons our grass. It's like, why does he do this? But, you know, every few months he poisons our grass. He's done it for the whole time we've lived there. You know, at first, you know, I wanted to put in security cameras and catch him in the act. I'm like, well, I guess if that's what you like doing on a Sunday, then you're just going to have to keep doing it because it's grass. It turns out it keeps growing back as much as you poison it. You know, perhaps he's burnt down one of our trees. You know, and he proclaims to know nothing. He says, you know, he's like, no, it couldn't possibly be me, you know, unless someone broke into a house and, you know, put Roundup along the fence line. And you know, it's just ridiculous. People get caught up over so many petty things, but they lead to be huge issues. So don't be conformed to this world. Be transformed. Let your mind be renewed. Matthew chapter 7. Now, this one gets used by angry people a lot. And saints, judge not that you be not judged. husbands and wives, this tends to happen. Don't you be telling me what to do. Just, you'll be hearing this. Don't you be telling me what, if you haven't heard it already. Now, what I find interesting about saints that pull this out is often when someone else is quoting scripture to them, and they're like, don't be you judging me. You know, you get the beam out of your eye. Don't you be coming to me. You've got this list of 500 things wrong with you. You know, so don't you be telling me what I should be doing. Okay? Leave judgment up to God. But the scriptures are our lifeblood, you know. So if someone has to be corrected because they've done something wrong according to the scriptures, they need to be corrected. You know, whether it's a pastoral level correction or a friend, you know, hey, brother and sister, you know, you really probably don't want to be doing that sort of thing, and here's a scripture. So try and keep the emotional level down on the judge, not that you be not judged. Yes, it's true, it's in there, but the scriptures are God's word for us to live by. And all the people said, yeah. Okay, Hebrews chapter 10. And verse 30, how could I talk about judgment without quoting this? Hebrews 10, verse 30, for we know him that says, vengeance belongs unto me, I will recompense, says the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. And in verse 31, if there was no doubt, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Okay, let God take care of it. Don't let your salvation be diminished or in fact just crushed because of something you have against a brother or sister that you can't let go of. Okay, that's not the scriptural pattern. The scriptural pattern is to put it to God and walk away. The scriptural pattern is to forgive someone if they repent of this thing that has happened. And truly repent, not just, well, the Bible says I've got to forgive you, so I guess I better forgive you. Cross your arm. Okay? Forgiveness is a pure spiritual thing, and that's what God's talking about. Okay, so just to finish up, put God first again. Okay, just in case there was any doubt and you didn't care about anything else I said in between, put God first. Matthew chapter 6. Okay, Matthew 6 and verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Okay, it's great to have goals, but God has to be the one driving this. Your relationship with God is the most important thing in your life, or should be. If it's not, put God first. Thank you.